Jesus Christ said, "I will build my church." For more than 2,000 years, he's been doing all that he promised. Today, his church remains an assembly of his saints, providing a place for worship, fellowship, and instruction. In a world that often feels isolated and alone, church remains a place to connect. It's a place to call home. We're so glad you've chosen to connect with the family of believers at Campus Church in the Crown Center at Pensacola Christian College, as together we rejoice in the Lord.
Would you take your Bible, please, and find the book of Psalms? Psalm 121 will be our text this morning. Music and road trips have long been inseparable companions. Since Motorola developed the first car radio in the 1930s, music has been an essential part of taking trips. The 8-track tape came in the 1960s, and cassette tapes came along in the 1970s, further embedding the importance of music on these automobile journeys. As a teenager in the 80s, I remember when the cassette dubber came out. It was a double-deck cassette maker, and you could take tapes of your favorite artist and dub your favorite songs onto a separate tape and make what we called a mixtape. You'd take that mixtape on the road with you whenever you would go and listen to the music that was your favorite. You curated your own artist at that time. Today, we no longer use 8-tracks or cassettes or even CDs. We connect our phones via Bluetooth, and we create playlists that does exactly what the mixtape would do. It curates favorite songs to enhance the journey. Playlists may be a modern convenience, but they remind me of an ancient tradition. Just as we curate songs for the journey that we take here on this earth as we travel along the road, the ancient Israelites used a special playlist. They called that playlist the Song of Degrees, or the Song of Ascent. It's a collection of 15 psalms. Psalm 120 through 134 is that collection. It would be sung by the Israelites as these pilgrims would travel up to Jerusalem to worship God during the great feast. 10 of these psalms are anonymous. 4 are attributed to David, and 1 is attributed to Solomon. These 15 psalms form a playlist, the pilgrim's playlist, as the Hebrew would travel and they would sing and celebrate, anticipating the Passover feast in the spring and Pentecost in the summer and tabernacles in the fall. These songs were more than entertainment. They were reminders of God's goodness and his mercy. This morning, I want us to focus on Psalm 121. As I read, will you follow along as we look at our text this morning? Psalm 121, verse 1 says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, and the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." As we direct our attention to Psalm 121, I want us to uncover 4 life-changing truths that remind us on the journey of life, ultimately, our help comes from the Lord. Here's truth number 1. My Lord's power is before me. My Lord's power is before me. Look at the text, verse number 1. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hill. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Now, when I read that last statement of verse number 1 as a question. In the original Hebrew, it lacks the punctuation. And contextually, when you read verse number 1, it would make sense that we're not looking to the hills for our help because the hills are the creation. We're looking to the Creator for our help, and that's why verse 2 gives us that context. "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." It harkens back to Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. The fifth word in our English Bible is the word created. It's the Hebrew word bara. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. When the theologians talk about this matter of creation in Genesis chapter 1, they refer to this creation as ex nihilo, meaning out of nothing. God created out of nothing. In a world of content creators and innovators and producers, only God has the unique power of creating something out of nothing. I was recently in Tennessee visiting my family, and my brother just retired from medical practice. He's been an oncologist, hematologist. He's been in medical practice for over 40 years. To celebrate his retirement, he went out and bought an $80,000 electric vehicle. As he bought that electric vehicle, I have to say it's quite impressive. It is a midnight cherry red is the exact term. Midnight cherry red, fully appointed on the inside, a beautiful, beautiful car. He bragged to me that whenever he travels, all he has to spend is $10 to be able to fill his charge up completely to travel over 350 miles. It's an impressive car. But as we're riding along, he makes a statement to me and he says, John, this car is 93% recycled material. And I heard that and I thought about that for just a second. He said it a second time, 93% recycled material. I looked at my brother and I said, you paid $80,000 for a recycled 1973 Ford Pinto is what you did. Because there is nothing new under the sun, Ecclesiastes 1 verse number 9 says. Ladies and gentlemen, we can recycle, we can renew, we can reimagine, but we cannot create out of nothing. Only God can. And when you consider the awesome power of God's ability to create something out of nothing, number one, it should cause for us appreciation. We should appreciate the fact that our God is the awesome creator of everything, and from nothing he created something. So this morning I challenge you to slow down and think about the creation in front of you. We were in West Virginia for almost 24 years, living in the mountains of West Virginia. And you know, when we went on vacation, we always went to the beach. For 24 years, we went to the beach on vacation. For the last 6 years, we lived here at the beach. You know where we go on vacation? We go to the mountains. There's something fickle about humanity. The problem is we think that God's creation is more beautiful elsewhere. But I'm here to tell you this morning that we should appreciate God's creation right where we are in this moment. And where the psalmist was in that moment was standing before these hills. And he saw these hills and he said, I'll lift my eyes to the hills. And those hills remind me from where my help comes. My help comes from the creator, the maker of heaven and earth. It is the God who is our helper, who scooped out the seas and heaped up the mountains. It is the God who is our helper, who paints the sunsets into the canvas of the sky. It is the God, as the songwriter said, that owns this world, and the music of the spheres remind us that it is his world, the unique creator of all creation. She calls appreciation as we consider God's power before us. But secondly, it should also calm our anxiety. You see, when the psalmist is saying, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? When he's asking that question, it's because he knew, as beautiful as that creation was, it was filled with problems. It was filled with treachery. It was filled with opportunities to be harmed and hurt. You see, when they would travel to Jerusalem, this particular path was dangerous. It was full of wild animals. It was known to be a place where people would come and robbers, thieves would come and take from those pilgrims, those travelers. In fact, Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan taking that reverse tour, and they found a man that had fallen among thieves there. It's the exact same path. And undoubtedly, when the psalmist is saying, I look to my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help, he says, I recognize God's great power, but I also recognize I have a problem. And he begins to be anxious about the problem that is that is directly in front of him. He's struggling with what could be. Anxiety, quite honestly, is a common struggle amongst much of America today. The Centers for Disease Control, the National Institutes of Health, have said that the number one mental concern in America today is that sense of anxiety. I want to say this morning, as I look at the Word of God, as I've studied the Word of God, I want us to remember that anxiety is not a sin. Anxiety is an emotion. It's a response to what could be. Anxiety leads to sin if it's not brought into control and can lead to sinful behaviors. But ladies and gentlemen, there is a natural part of you that there's going to be those moments where that fear is. But what do you do with that fear? You do what the psalmist does, and he says, I look at those hills that God created, and in those hills there are problems. In those hills are difficulties. In those hills are things that I am gravely concerned about. But my help doesn't come from the hills. My help comes from the Creator of those hills. I don't have to be anxious. Charles Spurgeon said, our anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strengths. And it's true for us in our anxious moments. It requires that we look at the powerful creation that God has given and be reminded this truth, that if God can create something out of nothing, He can bring you through anything. He is a powerful God, and His power is before you. Here's a second truth. The Lord's providence is with me. The Lord's providence is with me. Look at your text, verse number 3. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Now, I want you to notice something. Did you notice that he has moved from the first person in verses 1 and 2, now speaking to the third person? He's now speaking about God himself. He's beginning to dialogue with himself. He's speaking to his soul. Someone asked me one time, John, do you talk to yourself? I say, absolutely. Sometimes that's the only intelligent conversation I can get. There's nothing wrong with talking to yourself. And in this moment, he begins to speak to himself, and he says, this God who is the Creator, the one who's made the beauty of creation, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He will keep you. He will not slumber. He will keep Israel, neither slumber nor sleep. That word keepeth that you find in verse number 3, and verse number 4, and verse number 5 is the same Hebrew word used in verse number 7 twice for the word preserve. It's the same Hebrew word used in verse number 8 for the word preserve. It's the Hebrew word shamar. It means that God will providentially protect and care and guide each of us in the journey of life. There's some unique descriptions here of that providential care. Look at verse number 3, that first phrase. He says, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He tells us, first of all, that in the providence of God, God is an unshakable rock. Look in the text again, verse number 3. Notice that word moved. Circle that in your Bible if you would. That word moved gives the inference that it's not about our foot slipping, but it's about the foundation underneath our foot. That our God is an unshakable rock. We often think that we slip and slide and we move around, but God says, I'm not going to allow the rock that is that solid rock of your foundation to be shaking underneath you. And aren't you glad in this world filled with political and social and economic instability, we have a solid rock that is stable and secure? He says, I providentially provide for you an unshakable rock. But secondly, he says, I provide for you an undisturbed rest. Look at the text again, verse number 3, that latter portion of verse 3. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The word slumber means to get drowsy. The word sleep means to rest for an extended period of time. The traveler would often, as he would go through those hills, would have to stop for the night. He would be concerned that a wild animal could come along, a thief could come along, but he would not be able to rest because of fear. But he says, listen, the God who created the hills is the God who's aware of the problems that are within the hills, and He will not sleep, nor will He slumber. He will protect you. A number of years ago, I read a book entitled, God Works the Night Shift. Quite honestly, the book wasn't that good, but the title is great. Aren't you glad that God works the night shift? And you don't have to worry about those things that come up in your mind. You know, for centuries, for millennia, for 24/7, God has been vigilant, working the night shift in every moment in the past and in the present and the future. God will continue to work that night shift in loving care for His people. So I ask you this question this morning. How are you sleeping? Now, I don't mean right now. Some of you look like you're in the third stage of anesthesia at this point. But I'm saying, how are you resting at night? What's keeping you up at night? You should be, as a believer who serves the Creator God of all things, the most well-rested person on the face of the earth. There was a book entitled The Performance Triad that was written about military fitness. And they determined that if you have 6 hours of sleep or less for 6 days in a row, your cognitive performance becomes the same as a 0.8 intoxication. That's dangerous. Malcolm Gladwell, one of my favorite secular authors, in his book, The Outliers, he talks about how the average American gets less than seven hours of sleep at night, yet the top performers in America get over 8.5 hours of sleep each night. So I ask you, how are you sleeping? It's not just a matter of the spiritual, it's also the physical. And you say, well, I'm just not sleeping well at night. May I say to you, it's probably because your perception of God is not right. You see, when your perception of God is right, it will influence your peace. If you see God as a frail old man sitting on the throne halfway asleep and unconcerned, you'll be thinking you have to solve every problem in your life. But if you see God as the sovereign of the universe who tirelessly watches over and protects everyone, you will sleep soundly knowing that you're in His vigilant care. When the Germans were bombing London for that extended period of time, the devastation was great. And after the bombing had concluded, the search and rescue teams began to go through the rubble of all the homes around London. One search and rescue team came to a particular home, and when they came to the rubble of that home, they found there in the center of that home an elderly grandmother laying on her bed, sound asleep. When they removed all the debris around the home, around that bedroom, they awakened that lady and they said to her, how in the world could you sleep through all of the bombings that occurred? And she replied, well, the Bible says that the God who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. I figure if anybody needed to stay up, it'd be God, and I would just go to bed. See, you can do that as well. Those problems you're having at work, those difficulties that you're having financially, those things that you're concerned about in your health, those problems you're having with your children, those problems that you're having with your extended family, those things that are keeping you up at night, give them to God. He works the night shift. And in doing so, you can have an undisturbed rest as you trust in Him. Truth number one, my Lord's power is before me. He's the Creator of all things. I will lift mine eyes into the hills. He is providentially with me. He cares for me. He gives me a rock to stand on, a rest that I can have in my life. But also that next truth is my Lord's presence is beside me. Look at the text, Psalm 121, verse number 5. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade. Circle that word shade, if you would, please, in your Bible. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Circle that phrase, right hand. Shade speaks of His personal presence. He's right beside me. He's my shade on my right hand. He's right here with me wherever I go. And when it refers to the right hand, that's the strength of our God. He's there with us in strength. He's not a weak God. He is there with us in great strength. When you see the word shade, it's the same Hebrew word that is used for the word shadow in Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You see, God is a person who is with us in every place. Particularly, Psalm 121 says that God is present with us in the daylight. He's in that presence of the sun. You know that the Middle Eastern sun would be that sun that could cause heat stroke. The temperatures are high, it bears down. Sun poisoning can occur if you spend too much time in the sun. And the psalmist says, as I go through this journey, wandering through these hills, as I go through underneath that Middle Eastern sun, He's with me. He's the shade upon my right hand so that the sun will not smite me. And then he says, God is present with us in the darkness. He says, verse number 6, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. How does the moon smite thee? Back in the earlier periods, the Renaissance period particularly, There were those who believed that the moon caused madness. It's where we get our term lunatic. Lunar and lunatic go together. There is some element of perhaps truth to that. But the actual idea of what he's speaking of here is this, that in the shadows and in the sunshine, God is present with us. I really think verse number 6 is an allusion to when God led the children of Israel out of Egypt and they wandered in the wilderness. The Bible says that they were guarded by the cloud of his presence by day, and then by night they were guarded by a pillar of fire. Nehemiah, when he was recounting this in Nehemiah chapter 9, notice what he said in Nehemiah 9, verse number 19. Yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsook them not in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud departed not for them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light, the way wherein they should go. Aren't you glad God never leaves us or forsakes us? And when he is with us in the day, he leads us. And when he is with us in the night, he lights our way. I ask you this morning, do you sense God leading you today? Do you sense the light on your path as he takes you to the next step, as he leads you to where you need to be? You see, his presence is with you. He is the shade on your right hand in the daylight and in the darkness. He is present with you as you serve him today. Truth number one, the Lord's power is before me. I will lift mine eyes unto the hills. My Lord's providence is with me. He will not suffer you to be moved. He will not slumber or sleep. My Lord's presence is with me. He's the shade on my right hand. But fourthly, the fourth truth, my Lord's protection is around me. Look at the text, verse number 7. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. The protection that the psalmist speaks of, I think, is on three levels here. First of all, he speaks of that internal protection. He says in verse number 7, he shall preserve thy soul. That's the inner being. Did you notice he didn't say he'll preserve your body? He said, I'll preserve your soul. Now, here's something interesting. The Bible says in Genesis 2, verse number 7, that when God formed the man from the dust of the ground, he breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. Not a living body, but a living soul. The Bible uses this word in the idea of the soul in a unique way. The body, it returns to the ground. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 19. The Bible says, by the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return to the ground. But never do you find that it says that of the soul. When you use this Hebrew word for the word return in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 19, it's translated two times in the Old Testament as the word restore. Psalm 23, verse number 3, he restores my soul. When David fell into sin, made himself right before God, he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You see, this body is temporal, but the soul is something that is unique. And he says in verse number 7 that the Lord will preserve your soul, not your body. Again, Genesis 2, verse 7 says that God breathed into the nostrils of man and he became a living soul. This is so fascinating for me. The Bible says in verse number 7, the word Lord, Yahweh shall preserve thee. The old ancient rabbis used to teach that the Hebrew term Yahweh, it's really not even, there's no vowels that are in it. It's Y-H-W-H. How do you say that? There's no vowels. It's just a sound. And the ancient rabbis used to teach Yahweh, Y-H-W-H. It's not a word, but it was a sound. It's the sound of breathing. Yahweh. Exhale. In. It's fascinating in the fact that when every child is born, if this is true, the first word that comes out of that child's mouth before they can speak any language is Yahweh. And when a person dies, the last word they speak is they inhale their last breath and exhale that last breath is Yahweh. And God says to us in verse number 7 that the Lord shall preserve our soul. It's the work of God that He does internally for us. He works in our life to protect us, not only internally, but also externally. Look again. You have your text. Look at verse number 8, if you would, please. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. That's the external. That's the routines of life. It's just the coming and going of life. Internally, He preserves us. Externally, in the routines of life, He preserves us. I think it's a reference to Deuteronomy 28, verse number 6, that says, blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed thou shalt be when thou goest out. Every time a Hebrew leaves their home, they place their hand on that mezuzah. That mezuzah has within it a cough that says, the Shema, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. They place their hand there as they leave. It's essentially a prayer, and they place their hand there when they come back in. It's a reference, I believe, here in verse number 8, that God is blessing you, is protecting you, is preserving you in your coming and in your going. It's protection is around me, internally for my soul, externally for my routine, but it's also with me and around me eternally. Look again at verse number 8. He says, the Lord shall preserve thee in thy going and thy coming from this time forth, and notice this, and even forevermore. God's protection is not just for this moment. God's protection is for all time and into eternity, and His unwavering care is my constant companion. I'm safe and secure both now and forever. Wherever you are in the journey, God protects you internally, externally, and eternally. David Livingstone was a renowned missionary, an explorer to Africa. As he was preparing to depart to go to the mission field, he knew this journey would be a journey that would take him far from home for the rest of his life. It was a bittersweet moment for him. He was excited about the opportunity that God had given him, but he also was sorrowful for the parting from his family. Knowing all the perils and the dangers that lay ahead for Livingston, Livingston's father said to David Livingston, would you read something for the scripture before you leave? David Livingston opened the Bible and he began to read from our text today, Psalm 121. With his family gathered around, he began to read, I will lift my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And his voice filled the room, and with each word it resonated deeply, gave reassurance not only to Livingston himself, but to his entire family. His mother-in-law, Mrs. Robert Moffat, said later that every time she read Psalm 121, she could never hear it the same again. She always heard David Livingston's voice, that cadence that he was reading that text. It was so moving and unforgettable. Livingston served in Africa for over 30 years. Served there from 1841 to 1873 when he passed away from malaria and dysentery that caused internal bleeding. Upon his death, the British government requested to have the body of David Livingston, recognizing the significant accomplishments that he had made as he was serving. They wished to give him a proper burial, but the tribal village in which he was serving was unwilling to do so. Eventually, they were willing to do so, and they agreed to send the body back to Britain, but before they did, they removed his heart. They attached to his body this note. You can have his body, but his heart belongs in Africa. Today you can visit that little tribal village and there's a memorial. It's called Livingston's Memorial. While his body is buried at Westminster Abbey, his heart is buried there in the ground of Africa. And on that particular memorial over the burial spot of his heart, it gives his name and the very first word that catches my attention was that he was a traveler. And I think to myself, isn't that fitting? The Psalm 121 is the traveler's psalm. The psalm that says in the journey of life, as you cross the hills, as you look at creation, in all of these things, that you can rest in him no matter what may come, and that God uses us in that moment. Each of us, like David Livingstone, are travelers. We have to decide, will we trust God? Will we trust the keeper, the preserving hand of our God in the journey? Are we going to continue to solve our own problems and fix our own issues? Read Psalm 21 and you'll be reminded of his power and his providence and his presence and his protection. It is then that you can know that God is with you and that your help comes from the Lord.
We're glad you joined us for Rejoice in the Lord as we've discovered answers to life's questions from God's Word. For a recording of today's message, My Help Comes from the Lord, call, write, or go online. Include a gift of $7.50 for a CD or $15 for a DVD. Write us at Rejoice in the Lord, Pensacola, Florida, 32523, or call 1-800-223-9727. Messages are also available on iTunes when you search Rejoice TV, or find us on YouTube by searching Rejoice in the Lord. Your financial support is vital to keep Rejoice on the air. Your tax-deductible gift enables this viewer-supported ministry to spread the gospel around the world, encouraging Christians and reaching people for Jesus. This is Rejoice in the Lord.
Thanks for joining us today for Rejoice in the Lord. I'm John Lands, and I want to tell you about this year's best musical moments from Rejoice TV. We often hear from viewers who tell us how much they enjoy the music on Rejoice. And for several years now, we've assembled a collection of songs that we think are the best musical moments. And this year, we have something extra to offer. In addition to a CD and DVD, you can now enjoy this collection through a convenient digital download. For your gift of $70 or more to Rejoice, we'll send you the best musical moments of 2024. We don't often mention our need for financial support, but the need is great, and your gift helps us continue this ministry in your area and worldwide. Call, write, or go online today to request 2024's best musical moments.